Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? I'm your host, Elle Ariel, and we can be found at musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobs with an S, podcast.com. We're also on the streaming platforms iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Podcast, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Android, and more. So if you are on one of those platforms, we always love it. If you could give us some stars, maybe for the holiday season, the gift of stars. Give us some love, give us some feedback, tell us how we're doing, because again, we're all about reaching people who are looking for a music job, looking for a career in music. And we talk to the movers and shakers and innovators in the music industry from all aspects of the music industry, asking them how they did get their music job. What decisions did they make? What risks did they take? What obstacles did they face? What advice or insight did they have to share? We got it all. You can go to the website and check out all the archived podcast episodes. We were up to 45 now. It's pretty awesome. So last episode, I had Lisa Husseini, this amazing woman. She's the CEO of iCadenza, and she actually started out her career as a flutist. She was going to be a classical flutist for an orchestra and then had sort of a career crisis of sorts and found a new direction. And so her journey is just really fascinating. And again, we love talking to people like that of all different stripes and all their different experiences. So great episode. I urge you to go on back and listen to it if you haven't had a chance to already. So this week I have an amazing woman. Her name is Danielle Harvey. She is a singer of incredible, incredible talent. She is a songwriter. She is an indie label creator. She is an entrepreneur. She is a lawyer. She is an author. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on, but I'm not going to do all the talking. I'm going to let Danielle do the talking for us. But first, before we get started, I wanted to pick a favorite track of Danielle's that she has written and sung. This is called Only Human. Here we go. There is nothing I couldn't be.
Can't you see this pain that's deep in me? I'm only human. Tell me, do you?
Hey, Danielle. Welcome to Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job. Really excited to have you here.
Hello, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very excited too. So, yay, I look forward to it.
So let's get started about music. What's your first memories of music?
My first memories of music, oh my gosh. Well, I grew up in a very religious household, and we went to a Pentecostal gospel church. So I think that was always surrounding me on Sundays. It was always, you know, just full of very soulful singing and rejoicing. And then in a secular sense of things, it was just, there was music all around the house. We were brothers, and one was a soul DJ, or is, and another was reggae heavily. London reggae, or should I say British reggae, is a really big deal, especially at that time. And then obviously the old school classics, there was always vinyl playing, my parents dancing. So music was always there. I know my dad played the guitar, electric guitar. My parents were they could sing really well, harmoniously. So I had a really rich, full experience. And then with my school life and my other world, I loved classical music and pop music. You know, Fame, Flashdance, the kids from Fame, that was huge for me. When I was getting a little old, you know, well, still young. It was a big deal because there was a lot of dancing and music going on, and they danced in school. And for me, that was just so exciting. It was just an otherworldly experience. So I've always had music in my world, but I wasn't particularly set out to be a musician professionally initially. But things just, you know, the universe just sent me all of these amazing opportunities, and I just ran with it. So you know, it's quite various, as you can hear. You know, there was church, I was very, very secluded. I wasn't allowed to go anywhere. So all I had in my room, really, that I remember was the television, a cassette player, like a radio, So, you know, I'd listen to the radio, mm-hmm. and there would be music, like I say, from my brothers, and I'd just hear all these different fusion, different genres, different styles, you know, rock, jazz, gospel, amazing gospel country, which I was speaking to someone about recently, all the classic kind of Christian songs in country gospel, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
So various, yeah.
Tell us about, you know, were you taking, if you can walk us through the path as you started to go towards, like as a teenager, were you taking any instrument lessons? Were you school taking lessons or singing in choirs or things like that?
Yeah.
If you can walk us through that.
Yeah. So I was in junior choir at church, okay? And then I was in choir at school. I'm mm-hmm. talking primary school, so age of six. I mean, I've always been... Oh, that's the other thing I didn't mention, actually. I was always making up... I was kind of like, before Weird Al Yankovic did his thing, I was doing the same thing. Like, I'd be that person creating new ditties. Well, I say before he did his thing. I mean, before... you know, it was just something I did, like created versions of everything, nursery rhymes, you know, classic songs. I'd make up my own funny versions on the spot and make my little brother perform them with me. So it's like I always had that kind of Aww. Creativity of composing new songs, and I do a lot of a cappella voice things, you know, create my own little creations on my little cassette recorder back to back and make up my own versions. And I'd be arranging choral, like, you know, I remember kind of 6 years of old, eight of age, seven, getting like groups of people together to sing what I told them to sing. So I'd create arrangements. So there was a choral aspect in school. It was a traditional Victorian school, so we had that kind of the remains of the Victorian era with old school classic songs like Elgar, other songs that I suppose they used to sing. We used to have to sing them every morning in assembly, and a few of us were selected to be in a choir. So I had that, and then I had. So it was like total different world. There was that side of things all singing straight, and then there's this church where it was all riffing and vibing and, you know, praising the, you know, just total difference. And so I had that in my world, and that's from an early age. And then I started violin, I think 6 or 7, and that was amazing for me. I got selected, and I was actually really good at it as a young little virtuoso. And then I used to take that. Took violin lessons, but I used to, like I said, I was obsessed with Fame, and I don't know if you're aware of it. I mean, I know they did a remake a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I know the original.
Yeah, so I was obsessed, and I think it was every Thursday it came out, so Friday morning, I took recorder as well, and it was a thing back then. It wasn't like just a recorder. I mean, I played recorder. Like, you know, there'd be like a quartet with the different versions of recorder and violin, and we'd do these like classical arrangements and all of that, and a few of us would perform in assembly. But I would actually create renditions of the song that I'd learn in Fame on violin. So I'd do this kind of one girl show, I suppose, quickly work out the melody
wow.
line. So I'd play violin, and then play recorder, and then sing. But this is like this thing I didn't know I did. And on the other side of things, I was this nerdy, I still am, and this nerdy academic, studious, boring, totally into science and just studying and books. But that was a side that was there, but I didn't really connect it to be anything because my world wasn't music industry. You know, it was just... I just studied a lot and I loved my books, and I was just a person that was a little slightly odd. Not in a bad way, you know, not in a bad way at all. I mean, I've always been very happy with who I am. But I've realized since it's just introversion and just, you know, high IQ, that kind of thing. So I was a real kind of like the techie nerdy person, you know, junior chess champion. And then all of a sudden these musical influences just came together. So violin, and I think, when did I start drums? I used to play around with my dad's guitar, but I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, obviously when he wasn't looking, because he'd go nuts, you know, like electric, beautiful red guitar. It's so beautiful. I always wanted to play piano, but I didn't get the chance. Where are we? And then, so there was choir at church, so I'd do like the harmonies and stuff. I was never allowed to do lead, because the choir leader's daughters, they had like, they got the spot. And I was too shy anyway, but aww. I think, you know what I think? I think I actually... learned a lot because I used to make up my own stuff at home in my room, and so I had this kind of lead singing presence that nobody knew about, and it slowly emerged, and it was accidental actually. In school, again, when we started music, this is secondary school, I think I was about 11, we used to, in music lessons, we used to get sent off, you know, get given our tasks, and we get sent off into groups to create whatever it was. And I remember this folk song we were given to do our own versions of, and I was very creative back then. So while we were rehearsing, I made up this soulful version of this classic folk song. And, you know, everyone, there was someone on the glockenspiel and another person on piano in our team, in our group. And I was singing, and this was in the school hallway. And this was the moment, actually, the very moment. I'm just singing, we're practicing. And I opened my, no, actually, my eyes were closed. And all of a sudden, I hear this clap, like rounds of, like, cheers and, like, lots of people. Maybe, I don't know, 80 or something. All of a sudden, I mean, everyone's doing their thing. We're all in lessons. And it was the most bizarre thing because we were just practicing in a little corner outside the classroom. And it turns out that the school, not the whole school, but that wing, that section had actually stopped. And, like, it turns out it was like, who is that? Who is that? I open my eyes and there's all these people, like, up the stairs, and it was just like, what on earth is going on? And then from that point onwards, I'd get asked to do school shows, and, you know, and then all of a sudden I became, you know, Whitney Houston. All of a sudden I was this young little Whitney, like, yeah, right, you know, with her amazing womanly voice and me and my little, but I had a big voice for a little person. Aww. But obviously no experience, but I adored Whitney Houston. So all of a sudden I'm being asked to sing Whitney Houston songs for school shows and stuff. So it kind of just happened. It wasn't planned. It was definitely not my idea of what I wanted to do. I loved singing, but it wasn't like something like, you know, I'm going to be a singer on stage one day. It wasn't like that. And then that's where I came out of myself and started to sing lead and get slots. I never really got to do it properly in church, but then I left church anyway at around 11. I kind of started to, you know, do what was for me, and that wasn't for me. So everything just developed. I kind of, you know, kept my violin going and just merged everything. I just had emergence of all these different styles of music that I loved. And then I started drum lessons at some point. I think it was 12 of, I can't remember, maybe 11. So the only lessons I really ever had, oh, and one of my teachers, my music teachers, once that, like a couple years later, an opera, amazing opera singer, she became a teacher and was helping out. So I didn't have official music lessons until a little later after I got signed, actually. But we'll come to that, I guess. But she gave me some tips. So they were things I kind of took along with me, because I had a big voice, really big, powerful voice, and she just gave me some opera tips. But they weren't like, you know, regular lessons. It was just like she'd come along whenever we'd get put into groups, she'd come follow me, and she'd like listen, and then she'd be like, hey, you know, maybe if you did this, you know, so just a couple of tips. But other than that, it was just really choir practice. Yeah, and then violin was my only actual strict kind of rigid lessons. That's the only thing I ever really, you know, I've ever really done that was lesson based. Everything else is just natural and organic, I suppose. And drums.
Yeah, I love that. And it sounds like you definitely have that beautiful, rare joining of left brain, right brain, right? That you were able to be equally. Love that. That's so cool. Walk us through what happened that led to you being signed.
Yeah, so literally, you know, I think it was from that moment at 11 that, you know, I'm starting to do songs at every sort of school concert or show. I do my own songs. I was always performing my own, and then I'd do one, they'd ask me to do one popular one, right? So that, but I generally, I always done my own songs. So every year, you know, it kind of was known in my school that I sang, you know, it's like people come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, can you sing that song? And can I have your autograph? It was crazy, right? And then, still weird to me because it's just totally not a world that I even cared for, but I'd love to sing, right? But basically the pivotal moment really that took me into the industry, is that what you were asking me? Like when I got signed? And So the moment, basically my friend, a lovely friend of mine, her little sister, we were all really good friends. I say really good friends. I had a friend and their neighbours were, I think they were cousins, but their mum had heard me sing at one of the shows, I suppose. I think it turns out I used to just sing to myself a lot. I was a very lonely, not lonely in my own way, like like it was a problem, but I didn't have a lot of friends. So, but I was happy in my own space. So I, it turns out, and people tell me I still do this. I sometimes just sing to myself. They're like, wow. And I'm just like, oh, I'm just thinking I'm in my head. But it turns out anyway, I did that and she loved my voice. So her mum's birthday was coming up. And they were having a little party. And I don't know if you know about, I don't know, the West Indian world where there are like sound systems and just the way hip-hop started, actually, you know, with the decks and sound systems at a house party, that kind of thing. I'm not sure with all that, but that's a kind of typical thing. And so she was having a birthday party at her house, and it was like, would you sing happy birthday on the mic for her? Because she loves your voice. And I was like, oh. And that was actually the first time that I'd done anything outside of school. And I was like, of course, because I adored this woman. She was just the coolest mum. She was like their sister, you know, so young looking and beautiful and glamorous. And I was like, I'd be honoured. So I just sang, happy birthday, did my little riffy, soul-y thing. And then a producer who's there basically whisked me off, literally, like, I want to work with you, took me to the studio, we started writing songs, I had my first vinyl out, I started doing shows, making money, it was just that quick, it just happened. So, I mean, it literally, for years, I was kind of guilty about it, like it was kind of accidental, because I know people over the years, I didn't know it was a big deal until I realized that a lot of people really, like, they bust their butt, you know, to get discovered and all that, and it just fell into my lap, literally. But I know now I don't feel bad about it, because I did work hard in my, you know, like learning to sing and doing all those shows, you know, like things came into play. So it kind of eventually happened that I just was in the right place at the right time because of all the stuff I put, the work in I'd put before. But it wasn't, you know what they say, it's not work if you're enjoying it, because it was such a joy to just do what I did, and things just fell into place. But that's how it happened. I was young, still young. I was a teenager, early teens, and it happened that way. And he was such a lovely. And it turns out the one friend I had, the one really good friend, turns out it was her older brother. And I'd never met him. And we didn't see each other. We went to primary school together, but at 11, you go to a different school. And she went to a different secondary school. So we're still friends and best friends, but we didn't see each other as much because I wasn't even allowed out of the house. But I found out years later that it was her older brother. And I'd known about him because I knew all her brother's names, his sister's names. She's a really big family. They were like the Jacksons. I mean, seriously, it was like so many of them. And so it's just so cool. So he took me under his wing like a little sister. So I mean, I was just so lucky. And we, you know, we put stuff out together, and they were hit. That was how it started, really.
Wow. Yeah. Now, was there resistance at all from your family? Was your because I know obviously your family's very religious. Was there any resistance?
Not really. It's really weird. I have to say, I've had the most bizarre life, and now I'm seeing how bizarre it actually was. let's just say I feel as though, which sounds awful, I feel as though I was left to my own devices. I wasn't allowed out. I will say that. Like, I snuck out, right? I wasn't allowed out at all. I was really overprotected, the only girl. But I didn't really, by the time I was getting a little older, I didn't, nobody said anything. It's only one of my older brothers, a couple of them, because there's a big gap between us. One of them, because he was in that scene, he was so proud, you know, that's my little sister, you know. But we're not a close family. But nobody said anything. All I remember is, I mean, literally, it was just like, okay, you know, like nothing. I was actually doing my little thing and then sneaking back into the house, go out and do shows, sneak back into the house, you know, like I didn't. There was no interaction. Sounds awful, but it wasn't as tragic as it sounds. I mean, the other crappy things happened, but I mean, I just did my thing. And I lived this kind of surreal, I mean, it still is surreal, I think. I've just had this kind of magical, odd, bizarre life, you know?
That's great.
Yeah. So he was like, you know, for a little while, he was like a big brother to me. And I had an amazing team of people who took me to shows and, you know, I had the superstar treatment, I suppose. Took me to shows and I'd do a couple of, you know, do my songs and then come off the stage and go home, you know. It wasn't, nobody said anything. I mean, I wasn't too close with all my cousins and stuff or anything. I just know from what I heard back, it was just like people were like, you know, that's my cousin or that's my sister. But I don't really know, you know. I kind of just did my own thing. I'm kind of that person that's not really
we don't all kind of socialize together. Put it that way. I'm a very different animal. I'm different to all of them. So
I love it. And actually, I think it's refreshing because I'm glad that there wasn't, you know, interference or, you know, like blockage to you pursuing your dream. I think that's wonderful.
Were you
writing songs? Were you writing your own songs, or was this producer doing it? Or tell us about that.
That's the thing. I've been so, I don't even know, it's fortunate, but I've been writing from the beginning. So I've been published since the beginning. So I've been like a singer-songwriter, composer even from the beginning. I mean, we wrote together and we shared it, you know, like he did the music. We'd sit together and collaborate. Like, first of all, when we initially started out, he, you know, play me songs and say, hey, I've got this song. Can you try it out? So I'd just jump in the booth and try it out. And then in the same session or time, we'd sit and write. So, you know, he'd start vibing, improvising, and I'd just write a song. I've always been able to just write a song just in seconds, literally seconds, and sing it out. Because I was an MC as well, like, you know, rapping and also reggae MCing as well. So I always I've always been able to just freestyle just quickly. So I could just, I was doing it all back then, actually. So rapping, MCing and singing, which I sometimes do these days, but not really. I've done it occasionally. So we just freestyled. So, you know, and it was so cool. It was just like, you know, we got 50-50. We did it that way, you know. Yeah, so I've always been writing my own songs. And that's the other thing I find, you know, I realized was an absolute fantastic thing, because I know that a lot of people, you know, they go through the trying to find gigs, doing covers, and then being able to write if they get the chance. Whereas I've been writing since the beginning. So I've had a totally different perspective on everything, which we all do. But I mean, in the sense of, it's just been so, you know, talking to other people, it's just fascinating how we all, you know, have our stories to tell. But yeah, to answer your question.
Yeah, then they're all so important. They're all absolutely important.
All of it.
So tell us a little bit about kind of your trajectory within the industry, kind of the next chapter after you were discovered essentially by this producer and taken off
To the big time. Well, okay, so I had some quite traumatic experiences. I was in an extremely violent relationship. And so this person and his family were actually quite entrenched in that particular world. So also after being in that world for a while, I realized I wanted more, like I wanted mainstream. I wanted pop stuff, so I would be in that environment. So I got myself up and went into that world. I got deals offered. And then I was solo for a while. I basically started again, scratch. By the way, while I was doing all this, I was literally scared for my life because this person was extremely violent. And it was just me. And then I had my daughter, so I was trying to protect her as well. And I was in this kind of, I was already in the world, but I was like, and I liked it. I liked the fact that it'd given me financial freedom from such a young age. It kind of, deep down, I always wanted to be an academic though. You know, I always wanted to do law and all the other things, but the money was great. I'm not going to lie. You know, it was just instant. To me, a lot of money for just doing a couple of songs, you know, and then there's the publishing on the back end. And back then, royalties were amazing. They were amazing. So, you know, I had a really sweet life for a teenager, and I was on my own, you know, I'd left home. So I had my daughter. So all I was thinking about was keeping me and her safe from literally being killed. That's the honest truth. This guy was dangerous.
Wow.
So I was trying to get into a new world where it was it's a different, you know, the next level, the big time, I suppose. It wasn't like I was aiming for the big time, but I was aiming for something that was away from that world so that I could do my thing still and not be entrenched in it. So anyway, so I got my deal, and then a little bit later I got approached to be in this group. I don't know if we were the first ever R&B girl singing group, because there's one that was really huge as well, another one that really did well, but if we weren't the first, we were one of the first. And so I was approached to that, and I was the founder member. And then so we did that for a little while. That was a major label deal. And then I left, because it just, when I saw what was to come, I thought, I want to be there for my daughter, basically. I want to be there to tuck her in at night. It's just me and my baby. Do you know what I mean? It really was that serious. I didn't want to. I felt vulnerable being out there. You know, it's easy to get to me if you know where I'm going to be, because, you know, there's flyers mm-hmm. and adverts and all kinds. You know, so I had literally devised a plan to kind of be an underground success. And I only realize that nowadays.
Wow.
I didn't know it at the time. I was literally fighting for our lives. It's that serious. So...
Yeah.
So I left. Yeah. I've been really, really privileged again. I found amazing art. I don't know if they found me or I found them. I feel like people found me or just meet people at the right time. And I ended up being in a production company in a management of the hip hop industry of the UK. Literally, it was like the production company, and it was amazing. It's like, you know, they had studios, and I was a writer and a singer, and the manager, you know. We were assigned to the management, and we were looking for a deal for just me. And then during that time, so much happened, deals and leaving the deals and doing all these things in between. And I was doing so much, you know, I was still working. I was still using my, living off royalties from the past. I stopped doing shows because, again, I wanted to sever my relationship to the past. For safety reasons, so you know, it's kind of mm-hmm. restricted. But then on the other hand, I was doing all these other little things, like, you know, jumping in doing vocal production here on this single and that single, all these chart hits. I was involved in a lot of them as a ghostwriter, and it was just amazing. And all that during that time, I'm signing, I'm writing my own, doing my own demos, so recording at the production company, and they're, you know, looking for the best deal for me, growing, you know, because I was never. The other thing was the initial deals that I had, it was in like the soul reggae genre, and that's part of me, but it's not all of me. Like I've said before, I'm into everything. There's nothing that I don't like, nothing. And I'm not ashamed to say it.
Yeah.
It was trying to find somewhere that could embrace me. In fact, that this is just before I went indie. I mean, I was indie with the guys, but it's before I signed on my own and left everything. I was still in that major label world. Mm-hmm. And back then, it's like very pigeonholed. Well, I suppose maybe it still is, but you could only be one way, you know, if you are this one thing and you look a certain way, you sing a certain way. I'm a very soulful singer, but I've got this rocky rasp and, you know, I'm classically trained in other aspects and, you know, I like to merge the lot. And nobody got it. So yeah, trying to make me into this next, literally, I remember one of my A&R guys, when it was a really great deal, actually. It would have been, well, I've had many of the deals, but they really were going to be the next big thing. And he's like, you know, we're going to make it into the next Diana Ross. And it's just, and it was true, actually. It was going to happen, or it could have happened had I pursued it. But I'm like, I love that woman. And number one, there's never going to be another, you know. So, and number two, that's not who I am. You know, so going through all of that was interesting, you know, like, I suppose the bigger battle for me was that I just knew myself, and it would have been easier to say, okay, you know, but that's not who I am. I don't roll over, and I'm not, you know, difficult. It's just that I know who I am, and I always have done, and it didn't sit right with me, and I wanted safety for my child. So those things were very prominent and in my choices. So anyway, eventually I left them all and I went indie. I left my deals, I left, and I just started again from scratch, from zero.
Wow.
And that's when it all just, I think, to me, the best time for me, because it's never been better, even though it's been an excellent, you know, in other aspects in the past. So, yeah.
Right. Well, and I love this aspect, Neek, because I think a lot of artists, obviously, it's the opposite, right? Like they're stuck in the day jobs, or they're stuck being a lawyer, and they can't you know, imagine making the transition. Whereas you had to basically kind of dim your light due to you know, these awful circumstances. Whereas if you had just let your light shine, it's like the sky's the limit. But unfortunately, due to these, you know, violent circumstances, you literally had to dim your light and choose less exposure, less stardom, basically.
Well, this is interesting you saying that, because I actually, in a really odd, inadvertent way, I achieved stardom. And as we go on to speak, the thing is, I've never been a superficial person, you see, and I don't want to disrespect anyone who likes all of the limelight. And I'm not disrespecting their love of it, but I know who I am. Like, I don't need
I don't need the fridge door to open to feel to shine. Do you know what I mean? I don't need a spotlight. But it turns out that when I followed my heart and soul and went indie, actually a lot of things happened where I ended up in the limelight anyway. But by that point, I was a lot stronger. Mm. And in a sense of, I will not let anyone defy me. And I did TV and I did all these things and amazing humanitarian work, which is where my heart lies. And which is one of the other things that didn't sit right with my deals. They didn't get it. They were just like, wait, you know, just make a lot of money first and then start doing your causes. And it just was so flippant. And I'm just like, but I care about children who are homeless, and I care about, well, you know, just helping them or making a difference and raising awareness so we can kind of, you know, help eradicate this situation. You know, I care about, you know, child poverty. I care about the low education in inner city London. I cared about these things. And I managed, actually, so all of it was actually a great blessing, because, and I chose to leave because I wanted to pursue that, and I did, and I made it work, and I've actually done some excellent things, you know, from it. So for me, it's all been a plus, because, you know, I got the spotlight, but I got the spotlight for the reasons that I wanted them. To speak about these issues. I've got to speak about domestic violence. I've got to work with these organizations and be an ambassador, you know, with, like, you know, the top homeless charity of England and the Mayor of London, and working on educational issues as a partner with the Mayor of London's office, and even over in America, you know, Victory Over Violence, proclamation by the Georgia governor. I mean, I've been involved in things that I care passionately about through my music. And so for me...
Excellent.
I don't care, you know, like, I don't need the limelight for me. I just know that the limelight finds me anyway, even if I don't try it. Mm. I tell you some stories. It's like, it just finds me. But the point is, I use it to do good in the world for the causes I care about. I'm okay. You know, like, I'm healing, I've healed, you know, I'm using it for the good. So it's okay. And my daughter, the main thing is she's 26 and she's amazing. And she's, you know, we survived, and we're victors, and we're victorious now, and you know, we're beyond that, and she's amazing. So my job is done, you know. I was there for her.
Aww.
We've got the best relationship, you know. So, and she just graduated, you know, psychology degree. I'm just so proud, and you know, we've done it. So the successes to me are beyond all of the superficial. And those things could still come, but I don't yearn for them. I'm so fulfilled, and I'm still helping now, you know, this new chapter. So I'm in
well,
my
tell
element.
Us, yeah, let's
really
get
am.
Into that. Let's get into that. I want to hear more about this new chapter that this, we'll call it the indie chapter, where you know,
the
you
indie
live
chapter.
Life and you live success on your terms. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So really, I was in a position of, okay, I need, like, I love my, don't get me wrong, like, I love my first class lifestyle. I love it. I love it. I love luxury. That's just something I love. And I wanted my daughter to grow up, like, through all the torment and all the stuff that was happening, you know, a lot of domestic violence and personal trauma from childhood that I found out about recently, actually. I didn't know I was carrying all of that. It all makes sense now. But through all of that, I wanted to give her the best. Like I said, you know, I wanted to be there for her. I wanted her to have a princess life, you know, just the best, best, best. So removed areas, made sure, you know, she had a great school. The point is I was in a situation when I left everything. It was like, I need to make that money. You know, I need to make the money to give her that life. How do I do it? And I suppose it wasn't really brought up, but I've always been an entrepreneur. I had my first business at 7. I had a design business. My mum taught me how to make and design lingerie and clothing. And this is because of the hurricane efforts going back to the West Indies when the hurricanes would devastate islands.
Oh, wow.
And through church, we used to, you know, get boxes together, things to send over. So my mum and I, she taught me how to cut patterns and to cut from the body and to create patterns, and taught me fabric shopping. And taught me how to literally make lingerie. So I know how to make lingerie. Like, she was like, no, they need bras and they'll need underwear. You know, we can't forget these things, which is amazing. You know, like, everyone else is sending clothes. And she's like, oh, no, but, you know, women still need to feel pretty. So she'd teach me how to make clothes and teach me how to make men's suits. And, I mean, she was amazing. So because of that, I started
designing and making clothing. So I always had an entrepreneurial gene, well, spirit, should I say, from a very young age. So I used that. I tapped into, I'm a very, that word spiritual, but I'm a very centered and know myself, like I'm connected, right? So I literally just sat for a while and it was like, what do I need to make this work? And I realized I need to act like a bit, back then labels were everything. The digital age wasn't even really there yet, you know, in this new breakthrough. So, but I'm very techie and very savvy, but very shy and still in hiding at the time, right? So I was like, okay, I need to make money. What do I need to do? So it was like, I got my entrepreneurial side on, basically. I need to act like a record label. I need to be a publishing company because I knew that world already. I need to do this, this. I need to somehow get exposure for things or get things happening without it blowing up too big. Because literally I was at that point where I was resisting huge, like, life-changing offers, you know, like, because I just didn't want to be in the limelight for the reasons I've said. So I had to find, I was kind of reverse engineered things. So what would I need to do to make it happen still? What can I do to bring in money to make the money I want? So I looked at business as a whole. And like, I've always studied as well. Between all of this, I've always kept my head in the books, always. And in fact, I'll tell you about that in a minute. There's a law side of me too. But I looked at what I needed and devised a plan. It was as simple as that. It was like, I want to be there for my daughter sleeps. I want to be there when she wakes up as much as possible. It wasn't always possible because of shows sometimes, you know. However, most of the time, I want this, I want this, I want this for her. How am I going to make it? So I looked at what businesses did. Then I looked into how I could make that work as a music industry. Because for me, what I've seen in the music industry, there was a lot of things done without integrity. And integrity is a major word in my life. Like, it's so important to me. You know, working from your word and from honor. And it wasn't always something I noticed, even though I've been really fortunate speaking to other people, with people around me that have really protected me and done really great things for me. I've still been ripped off. Do you know what I mean? I've still been, things have happened that have happened to everyone in the, well, I'd say most people have a story or two or three, right? So it was like, how can I do it? So I just basically put a plan together, you know, like, I organized my time. I was not organized back then. What did they used to call me? It wasn't scatty, but there was a word. It's a real slang term. I think it's because I could do so much. I was comfortable with things coming to me. And also I realized now I was just fearful, scared a lot. So I guess I had this energy that was kind of like, you know. But I got organized. I looked at the time I had, and then I worked out what I can do in those limited time spots. Basically, I worked all the way through the night. By the way, I've always been an insomniac as well. So sleeping was not sleeping was not an issue for me. I went 24/7.
Wow.
So, you know, that's basically what I did. I just devised a plan to become an indie label in my own, or a label in my own right. I didn't even see it as indie, to be honest. I don't do labels, to be honest, either. I'm very much, I am who I am and what I am, and that's it. So it's just like, I'm going to do what they do. They can make profit. I can make profit. I noticed there's actually a lot of losses in the industry, actually. A lot of people don't realize. And I'm like, I'm not going to make any losses. I'm used to making profits anyway, being an entrepreneur, and this is how I'm going to do it. So I laid out a plan, a game plan. And then when the internet came in, you know, I had this old, I can't remember, this old school, secondhand, huge computer. It was, oh, that's a lie. It wasn't a secondhand one. I actually remember now. It was, I bought it on, you can do like payment. That was my first one. It was huge. I used that to get, it was AOL, dial up, you know, very, and I remember, you know, getting on, just doing things and starting things like learning how to promote myself online. Because I knew that if my daughter was there and I'm not going to leave her at home, you know, how do I devise the world? Because I was a touring artist and I was also someone that could make passive income, which is what I did. And I wanted to make it so that I could actually stay at home, because deep down, I'm just a homebody anyway. Just be at home and just make money from my music. Like, you know, I'll do shows and do the occasional PA and interviews or whatever where necessary. But generally, you know, so I started to look into this world that was evolving, this new world that was just like really new at the time. Of, you know, found out about guerrilla marketing a little later on, a couple of years later, which was the thing for me because I had no budget. So it was like how to, and I've always been creative. So it really was good that I had that in me anyway of making things work. I've just always been able to make work with what I had, even if it was the most minimal. And that was it, you know. So I just went with that whole guerrilla marketing aspect of doing things tastefully, though. My other thing was it has to be tasteful. I'm not going to just do it haphazard. And that's mm-hmm. it. I just went with that plan.
Our time is getting a little short, and I want to fit everything in. Talk a little bit about sure. how you came up with the idea about the book.
So fast forward, really, I suppose I had done all that, made a real success of it, and, you know, took some time out. But I've always been trying, I basically started a consultancy, and I wanted to help other people, and I've been helping other people for years, like, you know, how to set up a licensing, do music licensing, set up a music licensing company, because I've been doing it all myself, and I wanted to solidify it, and because it was something I did through my business, my company, but I wanted to do it in its own right, and I thought, what would be the best way? And I've realized that there's so much knowledge in my head that I really want to share with everyone, and not everyone is ready to hear or able to afford, or even knowing that there's a problem in the first place, why they're kind of banging their head against the wall. I notice so many musicians on the internet or on my feed whinging about money and, you know, that it's impossible mm-hmm. and it's all over and all of that. And I don't buy it. It's just nonsense. To me, I'm not disrespecting this, their opinion. But I know personally that if I can do it from nothing, anyone can, regardless of where I started out, because I started from scratch and I had all the odds stacked against me. I think it's just about being having a bit of knowledge, which I knew I had. So I thought, how can I help? And one of the ways is a book. A book is very low cost to anyone who really wants help. It's one way I can impart a lot of knowledge. And it wasn't like I'm going to impart a lot of knowledge, so I'm going to write a book. It's more that I'd love to write a book to just help people. So I did 2 law degrees basically in 3 years, and I finished in June. And
wait, you did? Tell me that again. You did 2 law. You did two law degrees.
Yeah, I'm that person. I'm sorry. That was my overall dream, by the way. You know when you said lawyers are sitting in their cubicle.
Dream to be pop stars.
I was a pop star dreaming about being a lawyer, I swear. That's literally my life. I've always, literally, I've told you I'm weird. Like, that was me. I've just wanted to do law. And so I got to that point where it turns out through trauma, actually, I couldn't do music anymore. I just needed a break. Like, I was still doing it. Like I say, I've set up systems, so royalties are still ticking in, all of that. But I just moved away for a bit to just see what, you know, to just have a breath. And everything's popping for me, by the way. I'm talking like, you know, I've been in films. Everything's going off. I'm getting offered composition things for film. Like, I've been in films as an actor, and all these things I told you about with the law, with the, you know, working with mayors and governors, and everything's happening for me. And I'm like, okay. my daughter turned 18. I remember I said, I'm like, I'm just going to go somewhere. I'm going to find a tropical island somewhere, and I'm just going to go somewhere and relax. Aww. I didn't realize how much work I put in over the years. So I just took a little bit of time out, and it was like, what next? And then I thought, you know what, I don't want to ever leave this planet with any regrets. That's one of my mantras. Like, and that was the only thing hanging over me after years and years and years I hadn't completed, like, finishing my law degree. So I took it for myself. I got a master's in legal studies, and then I managed to do I did law school in 2 years, and they overlapped. A lot of people don't realize I did them both at the same time. I finished with flying colors on both of them. I don't know how or why. I'm just crazy, I guess. But anyway, that happened as of June, I just finished the final one, the second one, professional law degree. And I was like, I said, right, you've got to give yourself some time off. So 2 weeks, took time off. And then while I'm thinking, what next? What am I going to do next?
Which is nothing. 2 weeks.
Which is nothing. I know, I don't give myself, my friends were like, you need to give yourself a break, because I just keep going. Like, I don't know why. It's just in me, right? So I'm just like, a book. I want to write a book, and I'm going to make it a bestseller. That's what I said and declared. I actually was BSing myself, because I do that sometimes. Like, I'm really good on mindset, ninja trickery, which is partly the reason why I managed to be a success, because I had to do that whole affirmation thing and really tell myself that I was it, even if I deep down was like, I just went for it. So anyway, I'm going to write a bestseller, and then I did a bit of research, and then I declared on Facebook, which I never do because I actually have my own accountability. I declared that I'm going to write a book. I didn't tell a bestseller, but I told a couple of friends. because they know me and they know that if I said it, it's going to happen. I declared on Facebook, I'm going to write a book in 30 days from beginning to end. I'm going to start it and it's going to be published.
Wow.
And then I literally started just tracking the progress as I went. I was publishing, you know, uploading my updates. And I actually did it in 45. So to me, I failed. I know. But to me, the kind of person I am, I'm like, you messed up 15 days. But that was a bit of just the blockage that I had to overcome. I had a moment of, who do you think you are? Why are you trying to write a book? You're not an author. I think it was 9 days that literally held me up in my tracks, where it was like, I literally had a moment. What are you doing? You're writing a book. You've just done a lot. Yeah, just go to the beach, you know? So I was like getting that over myself basically for a few days. And that's literally what the 15 days hold up was. And then also working with the cover designer because of her time zone differences. Mm-hmm. Basically, it went to number one. So anyway, this book was about music business success, how to do it. So it's geared towards female musicians, artists, creatives, how to set up, how to succeed, a literal blueprint, resources, things you need to do to actually make money now, like factually, not a pie in the sky, actual things that I've done and that I do and that will get you money even if it's a little bit at the moment, and just how to set your mindset and how to run your career like a business to actually make it happen, because that's what I did. I literally, mm-hmm. things turned around so quickly. I realized, and it's not because I was bigging myself up, it's only speaking to people, I realized that they're fascinated and going, that's amazing, people should know about that. So it's only things, you know, like feedback when talking to people, I realized that, oh, well, maybe I should share this, what I know, and see if it will help people. I mean, yeah. I know it can, but so that's what I did. So I put it all into a book. My plan was to make it a number one, so a bestseller. And by the way, when I say I'm going to write a bestseller, I meant I'm going to release a book and then I'm going to do everything I need to do to promote it, push it, to make it a bestseller. That was the plan, right? However, on the day it got released, mm-hmm. it went straight to number one. It was a hot new release. This is the entertainment industry, wow. music business, and women, and then on 8 other categories in business, women in business, business skills. I was blown away. So it became a bestseller instantly. And floored me.
Nice.
Floored me.
Love
floored
it.
Me. When I say I'm still like, huh? And that's only 8 weeks ago, and it's still a bestseller. So I'm now working on the physical, on the paperback, so that'll be launched. I'm hoping for 6th of December that it'll be ready. But it's the same book.
Wow.
I'm just, you know, having to format it. But yeah, I did it all on my own. Yeah. I had an amazing support team. I didn't think anyone would care because I don't write to get responses. I just write for my own crazy head, like just to get things out into the universe, to say, universe, this is what I'm doing now. This is my plan. And people were actually like cheering me on along the way. But for me, the biggest thing is that people are actually, you know, the reviews are ridiculous on Amazon. People are literally like, oh my gosh, it's helping. I'm getting private emails from people like, thank you. I'm already making money. I've got my first gig. I'm working with people now. I'm just, it's for me, that's it. You know, empowering women. And males read it too, and not just musicians. Now I'm getting business owners say, oh my gosh, I didn't know this. This has helped me so much. There's so many resources here. So for me, empowerment is, and, you know, and integrity, they're very important words to me, because the things that I've always held true to my heart as a child and all the way through my life. So to be able to help others to get on their own two feet or even just get past the block, for me, that is everything. So, you know, I'm just blown away. I'm just so excited for what's to come for everyone that's, you know, we're in touch and, you know, I'm cheering them on and it's amazing. So that's the book. It's called Music and Money.
Yeah.
And it's on Amazon, and yeah, I'm just wow by the fact it's helping people more than anything.
That's
else.
So great.
You know, so yeah.
Now, are you also still working as a consultant? Are you still advising, you know, musicians or entrepreneurs?
Yeah. So because of the book, like part of the plan, like I said, was to get the book out. But yeah, I am doing that. So I'm now putting together, I'm putting together slots to be able to, you know, help people and advise and consult. So that's an exciting
excellent
step. And I have been doing it anyway. So, yeah, but I'm making it a thing now.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's so great. Well, we're running out of time, but tell people how they can find you. I know the book's on Amazon, but how can people find you? Can they follow you on social media or Twitter? Or
yeah.
Do you want to give that information?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So on Twitter, unfortunately, the characters are too long, but my I go under Female Musicpreneur International, but it's in Twitter, it's Femme, F-E-M, and then Music, and then Preneur, which is like the end of entrepreneur, you know. FemMusicPreneur. And then everywhere else, it's Female Musicpreneur. So Facebook, Instagram. I'm heavily on Instagram mainly at the moment. And that's Female Musicpreneur. And then they can also, you know, sign up. I've got great things offered, resources. You know, there's a free course that really helps start them off on getting their stuff together. So that's available right now to sign up for. There's a podcast. You know, there's all kinds of things. I've put together all these lovely little things to help the different kind of, you know, we all learn in different ways. The aim is to just, you know, just get a real empowered movement of women that are not dependent on anybody. I'm not against deals. Deals are great. They can be great. I just want people to know what they're getting into and choose and be able to make informed choices as to whether they should sign or not. So I'm not like a lot of indies that are against the machine. I'm not against it because I know how the machine works and it's a business, it's an industry. Because I've known a lot about business, I've really never been against it. It's just more for my own personal choices that I had to turn things down. Mm-hmm. But it's not a bad thing if you know what you're doing, and that's anything in life. People just get informed, get knowledge, gen up on something. Don't be scared of it. It is your friend. You know, the Google is your friend, that's what I say. But, you know, just learn about as much as you can, and then you'll be able to make an informed choice as to whether a deal or not is right for you, and you can actually make it happen on your own too. You do not have to. Don't rely on anybody. That's my main thing. Get empowered, rely on yourself, and you will shine in your own right. So, yeah, and you can take it as big as you want to.
I love it.
If you want to go all the way, you can. There's nothing stopping you. It's just about knowing how the system works and knowing how you work first and foremost and following what works for you.
Thank you so much. So appreciate having you on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for asking. And I know, I hope you can get something out of that.
I think it's safe to say that we all got something out of that. No question. My special thanks again to Danelle for calling us all the way from London town to be with us on Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? Just an incredible woman, an incredible story, very inspiring. Again, you can find her at femalemusicpreneur.com. And then the name of her book is Music and Money, A Success Guide for Female Music Creators, Recording Artists, Songwriters, and Musicians, How to Start a Music Career and Succeed in Music Business. Make money from your music now. And again, that is also available to the men as well. So, babies, thus ends another week of Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? 2018 is winding down. If you are in the Los Angeles, Santa Monica area, I actually have a last minute free show on Monday the 10th at Trip in Santa Monica on Lincoln Boulevard. That's Monday the 10th, free show, 9 p.m. Would love to see your smiling faces if you want to give a toast of holiday cheer, maybe brush off all the holiday madness for an hour or so and join me. I would love, love, love to see you. Okay, babies, I'm L.Ariel. I'm on the social media at L-A-R-I-E-L Music. The podcast is also on social media at Music Jobs Podcast. And again, my website for my music is lariel-music.com. That's lariel-music.com. So everyone have a wonderful, wonderful week. And remember to take good care. Keep on hustling, pursue that dream, and don't you give up.